We had three things in mind. The first one was, what do we need to do for Canadians today? And I am ready to take on anyone in this room or outside this room who wants to challenge the idea that we needed to make a targeted and temporary investment in affordability for Canadians. It's something we needed to do. There are vulnerable people in Canada who need that support, and so that support is there.
Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland there unveiled her budget on Tuesday. She bought sensible black dress shoes on sale at Simon's for the occasion. And what we saw yesterday, financial assistance for low-income Canadians, people that, as she says, burdened by the rising cost of living, a creation of a Canadian dental plan by the end of the year, a bunch of tax credits, by the way, to double the production of clean energy by 2050. And there was also a promise of better spending control. They say they're going to cut back, listen to this, on consultants and travel. Oh, yeah, and we're going to reach a $43 billion deficit. A balanced budget seems to be very off in the distance here. Let's get Moshe Lander's take, a senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University. Moshe, welcome back to the program.
Hello.
You're welcome. You joined us last week on the Quebec budget. I guess we got to do the Canadian budget now. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Chrystia Freeland's budget?
It was boring, wasn't it?
That's a good thing. Is that a good thing?
I guess. It didn't even do what they said it was going to do. This idea that it's supporting low-income Canadians affected by inflation. So essentially the Headline Act is an extension of the GST credit, which they're dressing up as some sort of grocery support. But even at the max end, that's going to get you maybe $450. 365 days a year, that works out to less than a dollar and a quarter a day. So you can't even buy a Tim Hortons coffee with that grocery support. The green economy stuff to 2050, I hope you and I are around, Elias, in 2050 to see that all of this good investment has paid off. But
Moshe, can't every single tax cut seem terrible if you divide it by 365? Isn't that the wrong way of looking at it?
And yes and no. I mean, again, it's better than nothing, right? And so it's not something that you should refuse because it's an insignificant sum. It's just it's not really going to provide that sort of support that they're saying. And if that's the headline, then everything else is, it adds up, but it doesn't add up to enough. And so that's what left me blasé about the whole thing, was that it really didn't show any signs of imagination or ways that they were really going to address a problem that itself is going to probably disappear within the next 6 months anyway because of the interest rate hikes.
Okay, so let me ask you about spending here for a second, right? Because there is a lot of tax credits and other spending for clean energy. Canada is now faced with the fact that south of the border, the U.S. is investing heavily in this. They're doing this. China is doing much of the same. Was Canada forced into this clean energy spending?
Yeah, the Liberals have been talking about the environment for years, and every budget seems to have failed to deliver. But when the Americans passed that Inflation Reduction Act, then all of a sudden people perked up and said, whoa, if we don't start moving, we're in trouble. I think that forced their hand in a way that probably they would have delayed. And I, like I was saying, that 2050 target is really soft, but it's a way to try and at least push things in that direction, I guess.
What should people know about this, right? The spending on clean energy and minerals and that for the so-called green economy. What should people know about why that's important?
Well, I mean, I don't think that anybody is really unaware of global warming and its impacts out there. And Canada is very much an energy producer of the dirty kind, right? So, we're really not meeting our responsibilities, especially as a rich country that could afford those sorts of things. If we don't start developing that clean energy option, then we're probably going to start to find ourselves cut out of export markets. So even here in Quebec, where we are a major exporter of energy to the American Northeast, it's going to become increasingly important that it has to be of the clean kind, top to bottom, And that's going to be necessary then because we're a major exporter in the world. And so it gives us a chance to maybe rethink the ways that we're exporting and moving away from some of the dirtier forms of energy that we're used to exporting.
When do you get concerned about debts and deficits here? You know, and we played some audio earlier on in the show of Chrystia Freeland saying, well, you think we're bad on deficit? Wait until you get a load of the other G7 nations, right? So when do you need to get worried? Does she have a point? Hey, we're not so actually bad on that front in this country.
She is right. And the obsession about when are we going to balance the budget is really not the primary concern, or should not be the primary concern. The issue should more be what is causing the deficit. So, you know, as a simple analogy, if I overspent last year because I took a whole bunch of trips to Vegas and bet badly, that's not a good deficit. But if I took on a little bit more spending than necessary because I needed to renovate my home or because I needed to put kids through university or something, that's probably a good deficit to run because it would have long-lasting benefits. So to merely just look at the $40 billion number and say, wow, that's big, but what's driving it? And so that's why when they were talking about, you know, reducing consultants, reducing travel costs, trying to cut the administration of government, maybe the idea is that it's a little more Vegas gambling than it is, you know, child investment.
I love talking about it this way. Like, what should we be obsessing over, right? So if we should not obsess over debt and deficit, what are the things that you obsess over when you think about federal budgets, government budgets?
So to me, it's fundamentally, does the government have the capacity to offer its spending plans without necessarily bringing future tax increases? Right. So it's not an issue of that they have a deficit now. It's that as they go forward, when they're making all of these commitments, what is this ultimately going to turn into? And so you and I spoke months ago about the Daniel plan and the cost that was going to be. They announced yesterday that cost has already doubled and they still haven't brought it into full force. So if you announce in a budget that you're going to introduce some sort of program or sort of plan, then if out in the future we're going to be hearing that it's doubled, quadrupled, gone up by a factor of 10, I start to get twitchy that does that mean then that you're either going to cut spending somewhere else or that you're going to raise my taxes in the future? And what about the things that you haven't addressed in this budget that are going to have to come up in the future? Things like infrastructure spending, military spending, they have to be addressed somewhere. And so if you're talking about that you're not balancing the budget now, fine, that's not necessarily a problem. But I don't see how you're going to be able to do it in the future without a fundamental rethink of government. And are you just out of ideas now as a government that you don't even want to talk about it now?
I want a yes-no answer on this to wrap up here. And this is going to be, maybe it's difficult. Do you think this budget yesterday is an election budget?
No.
Interesting. Interesting.
I think it's a wait for the recession to come budget.
Moshe Lander, it's always great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
That's Moshe Lander from Concordia University, senior lecturer in economics, of course.